following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of AM 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel Broadcasting. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko on AM 1230 WYTS. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko on AM 1230 WYTS.
AM 1230 WYTS, welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Thank you for getting up this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning, bright sunshine out there. Today we're going to be talking about, I'll tell you what, the title of today's show is Surviving the Current Economic Crisis with Your Teeth Intact. Okay, now that may sound funny, but people have to make some very tough choices these days, and I also want to encourage you folks to call in with your questions and also to call in with ways that you have come up with to help yourself save some money, especially when it comes to your dental care. All right, our phone number is 821-1230. And I'm going to throw out some suggestions, some things that I have that I think will help. But I'd be very curious to hear what kinds of cost-saving measures, what kinds of things you folks are doing already or are planning to do in the future to help yourself get through this economic crisis and, of course, as it relates to dentistry. Now, before we get on with that discussion, I want to give out Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And our question of the day is, according to a recent survey, what percent of people feel that a woman dentist, in general, would be more caring and nurturing to their patients than a male dentist? All right? So, according to a recent survey, what percent of people feel that a woman dentist, in general, would be more caring and nurturing to their patients than male dentists? And we'll take your guesses at 821-1230. You can also email us guesses by emailing dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com. And, you know, being a guy, I hope that number is not a real high number, but we will see. Anyway, because I think I can be pretty kind and caring and compassionate and all of those things to my patients. So, surviving the current economic crisis with your dental with your teeth intact. Think about that. When people come in to the office and we tell them they need this or need that, they have a decision to make. Am I going to do it? Am I going to not do it? Am I going to look for an alternative? And so let's start with this. Probably the very first thing that I think you can do to keep your teeth intact through all this is prevention. Now, when I say prevention, I'm not just talking about routine cleanings and things. I'm talking about being careful. I'm talking about preventing the need for care to begin with. So, for example, a lot of the emergency visits that I do are cases where somebody fell. Maybe they were a little bit tipsy. Maybe they'd been drinking a little bit. They fell and they hit their face, their teeth on the sidewalk or something like that. Of course, if you could be careful in that way, that would be very helpful. Yesterday, I witnessed a case of road rage where a gentleman was in his car and the car in front of him wanted to back into his own driveway, and because that held the one car up a minute or two, he stopped his car, got out of the car, and started screaming at the individual who had backed into his own driveway. And, you know, at one point, it looked like there might be a fistfight breakout. And all because of road rage. Now, I don't know why this gentleman was put off by having to be, be made to wait a little bit. I'm guessing that there are a lot of people that are very stressed out right now. Everyone is worried about the economy, worried about their own personal situation, and basically we're down to our last nerve in a lot of instances. And so I'm thinking that in better times, maybe that the guy guilty of road rage would not have reacted that way. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have reacted that way if he had just found out he'd won the lottery. He wouldn't care. So I guess my suggestion is think about what you're doing, think about why you're doing it, and think about what the ramifications might be. So in this case, had the ramifications actually come to a fist fight, well, there you go. Another dental patient. And an expense that maybe this gentleman could not have afforded. So that would be something to keep in mind. I am also the witness of a case of road rage for several years ago, right here in Columbus, where these two gentlemen got out of their car. And when they did, the one grabbed a hammer. He happened to carry on the back seat of his car, I guess. And they essentially took their fight over to a little lot right next door, right, got off the main road, and it was a nasty fight. The one was pummeling the other one, and I was very fearful for them. People came and beat their horn and tried to get them to stop, and I don't think anybody was severely harmed, but certainly very scary, and I would imagine that there very well could have been some tooth trauma. All right, so step number one is try to avoid road rage or doing something that might cause somebody to feel road rage. And then step two is kind of what you would have expected when I said prevent the need for care. And that goes to things like, brushing. Take good care of your teeth. Because, you know, when we talk to kids, we'll say things like, just brush the ones you want to keep, just floss the ones you want to keep. And if we watch what we eat, if we make choices based on the health of our teeth, then the chances of needing dental care are much, much less. So let me give you an example. When I go to schools and talk to little kids, I hold up a sheet of foods and ask them which ones are good for you and which ones are bad for you. And when I say that, I mean which ones are good for your teeth, which ones are bad for your teeth. The most common error that I get is we'll hold up on that picture, it's a picture because they're little kids, there are raisins. And all the kids raise their hand or they'll say, those are good, those are good. And the answer is they are good as a health food. They're good for us. But as a choice for keeping our teeth healthy, they're not the best choice because they're sticky and they stick into the little grooves and valleys of teeth. And so if you had your choice between a crisp apple or a raisin, and you're talking strictly about dental health, it would be an apple. Unless, after you had raisins, you went ahead and brushed your teeth and got all of the debris out of those grooves, okay? Now, you can do a little test for yourself. Is take something like raisins or take something like white bread and chew it, swallow it, of course, and you'll notice that there are particles left behind on your teeth. And if you then go to the refrigerator and take out a raw carrot, for example, and bite into that and chew it, you'll notice that chewing the carrot, the raw carrot, will actually clean the raisin or clean the white bread out of the biting surfaces of your teeth. So that's what we call self-cleansing. And you need to think about the kinds of foods that are going to hang around, because if they hang around, they can cause cavities. So that would be another, healthy choices in the way of food choices. All right, now, we have available in the office and available in toothpaste and mouthwashes and all of that, we have fluoride that we, most of us agree, will prevent tooth decay. But fluoride has a price. It costs to have a fluoride treatment. So if you're trying to figure out how to get through the economic crisis with your teeth intact, you're going to have to make some of these decisions. Is it cheaper to have fluoride on a regular basis and maybe not need fillings? Or is it maybe you're one of these people where you just don't think you get cavities, and so you might feel you're wasting your money on the fluoride treatment? You can, and I've done this for people, you can ask your dentist to give you an assessment of your own particular dental situation. Because, especially when I have people who come to me and they say, I'm thinking about buying a dental insurance plan on my own because I no longer have insurance through my work or I've lost my job or whatever. And so they'll always ask me, is it advantageous and what should I be looking for? My very first comment to them is always, first you need to look at what it's going to cost you. Because if it's going to cost you too much, in my, you know, let's put it this way, if you were to pay out of pocket for 2 exams a year, 2 cleanings a year, 2 fluoride treatments a year, and x-rays, 4 bite wing x-rays every third time, which would be 18 months, every year and a half, it would probably cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of $27 to $33 a month if you were to set that aside. Okay, so if your insurance is costing you $30 a month, or even worse, if it's costing you $40 a month, you probably don't need it if you're one of these healthy folks. What I mean by that is people that either have very few cavities and fillings, or they used to get cavities, had them all filled, and have been healthy for a lot of years now. So that person would not need to spend the money to purchase their own dental insurance because they'll be better off to just pay the bill when it comes, okay? Because keep in mind, just because you have insurance doesn't mean you actually get the money back from the insurance company. You kind of have to scratch and claw, and they'll pay a percentage of this and a percentage of that, but they'll have a deductible, which comes off the very first service, which is something that is a big surprise to a lot of people. If it happens to be something that's more expensive, say a crown, a bridge, a partial denture, they'll only pay 40% or 50% of that. And so a lot of times you'll wind up spending more for the policy than you'll get back, even though it looks on paper like you're going to get all kinds of free stuff. Okay? The other thing is, you know, when you have a financial decision to make when it comes to your health, you have a few things you can, there are a few options open, of course. You can just say, I'm not going to the dentist. I can't afford it. Or you could say, I'm going to go, but I'm only going to do what absolutely seems to be necessary in my mind. Or I'm going to find a lesser expensive place to go. And let me tell you that here in Columbus, I believe that if you are truly struggling financially and yet you have dental concerns, you want to take good care of your mouth, I have sent several people in that situation to the College of Dentistry. Okay, now many of you know that I taught at the OSU College of Dentistry for 20 years. I am no longer employed there. I chose to leave and use the time for other things. But I still remember my days as a dental student and how much I appreciated the patients who came and allowed me to do their dental care so that I could learn to be a great dentist someday. And actually, you will get good care at the dental school. I would much rather people who are in that very, very tight financial situation seek care at the College of Dentistry than one of those clinics that seemingly is kind of a run them through, you know, get as much money as you can, as quickly as you can, but there's no real sense of caring and urgency and maybe even, I don't know, it's just kind of like running people through like a mill. And you know, I'm not naming any names. You decide on for yourself who you think that might be or what offices that might be like that. But when you go from traditional fee-for-service to an office like mine, where the quality, the caring, the comfort, compassion, all of that, the high moral guidelines to do the job right, to not take shortcuts, when you leave a practice like mine because of financial reasons, just be careful that you realize it's not apples and apples, that you oftentimes are comparing apples to oranges. Now, when it comes to quality, I can say that you'll get great care at the College of Dentistry. It will take a while. You pay with your time instead of your money. You do have to pay up front. No, but you're paying about one-third to one-half of the normal cost of care. So something that costs $100 out in the private sector might cost $34 to $50 at the College of Dentistry. I'm actually going to have the dean of the College of Dentistry on the show. I believe it's March 29th, so a few weeks from now. We will have Dean Carol Anderson on, and she doesn't know that I'm talking about the school in this way today. Maybe she will by then, but no, from my own personal experience, from being a student and from teaching there for all of those years, if you are to the point where you just honestly cannot afford full prices for anything, then go to the dental school, all right? And I happen to know their number. It's 292-2751. That's 292-2751 in the 614 area code. I believe that's the general number. And some of my patients will remember me telling them this. Some of them had left for a while at my urging because they just couldn't afford their care. And then after receiving care at the dental school for a while and their situation improved and they didn't want to have to spend so many hours there, they came back. And so it's all in, you know, doing the right thing for people, trying to take good care of them, even in rough times. So, just to recap, we've talked about avoiding things that will injure your teeth, so avoiding the reasons that you would have to seek my care. We've also talked about if you need a way to pay one-third to one-half of the normal fee, I recommend you go to the OSU College of Dentistry if you're in Columbus. If you're not in Columbus, you know, go to your local university or call them and ask. There aren't, you know, not every university has a dental school, but a lot do, and so call them, and it might even be worth your drive, especially since gas prices seem to have come down enough to where we can function. Now, but you know what? I don't want this whole show to be negative, because when I go out, and I was out over the weekend, I see people, I see cars in the shopping malls, in the shopping centers. I see people in McDonald's and Wendy's and Arby's, and I see people driving up and down the street. So I don't think it's quite as bad as we maybe all feel, because if you just look around, I mean, the sky hasn't fallen. It still looks pretty normal out there. I know the unemployment rate is high. I think the last word I saw in Ohio was 8.8%. which is a historic high since 1980. I believe that's the highest it's been since 1980. But you know what? I was a dentist in 1980, and we made it. We made it through that, and we're going to make it through this. So these decisions that we're talking about, hopefully, we can all understand, are going to be temporary. We will pull out of this. We already are starting to do that. I hear commercials on the radio from the Realty Board talking about how this is the absolute best time to buy. It's the best time to buy a car. If a person is in a position to do that, heck, one car company is even offering to take your car back without any negative credit aspects if you lose your job. Within, I think it's in a year. You buy a new car from them, and if you lose your job and you need to give the car back, so to speak, it will not negatively affect your credit. So, you know, that's the good old system of system that we have here, democratic kind of capitalist companies figure out what's the best way to survive, and so it's not, you know, companies are having to make these decisions as well. That's not an offer you would have ever found before. And I think this company has decided, hey, we'd rather sell some cars now, and we don't think the economy is going to stay like this forever. And you know what? For the people who do happen to lose their job, we'll help them out by taking the car back. I don't think, I didn't look at the details, by the way. I don't think you're going to get all the money you paid back, that you paid on the car for that year or so. But we are going to, they're going to make that offer so that they can sell some cars and take their chances. All right, it's time to go to a break. Remember, our number is 821-1230. Call me with suggestions that you have for saving money when it comes to dental care. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. AM 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for joining me this morning. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. Dr. Kvitko's question of the day today is, according to a recent survey, What percent of people feel that a female dentist or woman in general would be more caring and nurturing to their patients than a male dentist? Your guesses are welcome at Dentally Speaking on am1230@yahoo.com or 821-1230, so let me know what your thoughts are. The title of today's show is Surviving the Current Economic Crisis with Your Teeth Intact. Now, I know some of you maybe think that's a funny title. You wonder about that, but on a daily basis, I see people who have to make decisions. Sometimes the decisions are based on fear, but in some cases, the decision is based on financial wherewithal. So a person might come in and have a cavity, a deep cavity, maybe a toothache, and usually deep cavities and with toothaches mean that they're going to need a root canal. And so we'll say, John or George or Jen, we can save your tooth, but it's going to need a root canal. And we give them a price for that. And they might say, Doc, I just really can't afford it right now. Can you just take the tooth out? Well, we can do that, and it seems like it's cheaper, certainly in the short run, but it always winds up costing more in the long run. And let me tell you what I mean by that. If you lose a tooth, you really need to put another one there. You need to have a full set so that every tooth is doing the chewing ability, or rather providing the chewing function and force that it was designed to do. Just consider an example where maybe compare somebody that has all 32 teeth to somebody that has lost a few teeth in a car accident, like a motorcycle accident, like one patient of mine who has only 5 upper teeth left, and I think about 9 on the lower. So if any of those teeth happen to touch when she closes, those would be the only teeth that she's chewing with, which means those 3 to 5 teeth are doing the chewing function of 32. They're going to wear out, and she's not going to be able to chew as well. So if you can believe that, or if you do accept that notion that people need to have all of their teeth, so you take a tooth out, you have to put one in, and what are the choices there? The best choice is an implant, where a titanium sealer, we place a titanium cylinder down into the bone, up under the gum line, let it heal, and after healing, place a crown or cap onto the titanium cylinder, and you now have a tooth. Well, that's the most expensive route, okay? Probably in the neighborhood of, $2,500 to $3,500. If you lose a tooth and you decide to get a fixed bridge, and a fixed bridge is where the adjacent two teeth are trimmed down, and they are trimmed down as though they are going to get a crown or a cap on them, and then an impression is made, and you go ahead and make what amounts to 2 crowns with a fake one soldered in the middle. And we get what that does then is that slips down over top, and now those two teeth are doing the work of 3. And so those two teeth are doing a little more than they were designed to. And after that's in, though, you can't floss between them. You can floss on each edge, but where the one is soldered in the middle, obviously it's soldered. And so, with that in mind, it's harder to care for. So right away now, you're maybe setting yourself up for some more problems like gum disease and food getting collected and all that. The next choice would be a removable partial denture. Oh, and by the way, a bridge. And this is replacing one tooth. Let me go back. One tooth implant, $2,500 to $3,500 for that one tooth implant. Now, the implant itself usually runs somewhere in the neighborhood of, $1,600 to $2,000. And then the crown that goes on is going to be almost the same, because the crowns are usually the normal dentist, the dentist's normal fee, plus a few hundred dollars for the pieces and the parts that have to be purchased to do an implant. So the implant winds up being a little bit the most expensive. The bridge, not quite as expensive, maybe that $300 or $400 less. But now you're asking two teeth to do the work of 3. Okay, so let's say you can't afford either of those. Your next option is a removable partial denture. A removable partial denture is one that has these metal clips, and it clips on to the teeth on either side, and it comes out at night, okay? So it usually has some pink plastic, one or two denture teeth, however many teeth you're missing, and lots of metal to clip on, and it has to be, even if you're only missing a tooth on one side, it has to go all the way over to the other side and clip there as well. So it's kind of this big, bulky thing, and you do take it out at night, and but that what could replace your tooth for in the neighborhood of, say, $1,600, maybe $1,300 to $1,700 in that range. But let's say you still can't afford that either. What are your other choices? And now you're looking at, you need to hold this space open. Okay, you need to have, if you just do nothing, if you say, well, take my tooth out, or you already had your tooth out, and you do nothing to replace it, all of the teeth around it are going to start to shift. The one in front is going to start to lean back. The one in back is going to start to lean forward. And the one up top, if it's a bottom tooth missing, is going to start to drop down. So you need to figure out a way to prevent that from happening. And there are some inexpensive ways. We do it a lot in children. And I think what I'll do is when I come back after the break is I'll let you know what exactly that is, how we would go about saving you money and still holding this space so that you can, at some point down the line, still replace your tooth. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kibitko, and we'll be right back.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kibitko. Good morning. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kibitko. And you're listening to AM 1230 WYTS. Today we're talking about how to survive the current economic climate with your teeth intact. And before the break, we were talking about somebody who now has lost a tooth and they can't afford an implant, they can't afford a bridge, you can't afford a partial. You might be able to afford these someday because, let's face it, the economy goes up and it goes down and there's always this pendulum that swings back and forth. And so I don't think any of us believe that we're going to be in this economic climate forever. And in fact, a lot of the economists feel that it'll bottom out in 2009 and that by 2010, things will be getting a lot better. Well, we're two-twelfths of the way through 2009. I mean, it's already March 1st, so just kind of hang in there and things will look up. I think they already are starting. But before the break, we talked about this this missing tooth and how important it is to either replace it or at least be able to replace it. So here is the cheapest way to do that in the event that you have lost a tooth. Now, I'm suggesting that you don't lose the tooth to begin with, and we'll hopefully talk about that. That'll be next. But let's say you already have the tooth. You've already made that decision yesterday. You went to your dentist and said, just pull it, I can't afford it. Now what do you do? Okay. What you should do is go back and say, I would like to have an implant here someday. I'd like to have a bridge, whatever I can afford once I get back on my feet. And I would like you to place a space maintainer. A space maintainer is very simple. It's an orthodontic band, one of the metal bands that goes around a molar when people have braces. We've all seen them. And soldered onto it is a little metal wire that basically loops up and rests on the back of the next tooth forward. And it's like a little round window of metal, of wire. Just picture this wire bent into almost a circle. Kind of a squared off circle, and it's attached to this band. And so basically what happens is your back tooth and your front tooth can't move. They can't lean in because of this space maintainer. Now, I think a space maintainer, and I probably should have looked up fees before coming this morning, but so I'm giving you ballpark numbers from memory, and they may be off. Plus, they're going to vary by dentist anyway. But I think a space maintainer is probably a couple hundred dollars. And that is a really good price to pay to keep from, say, either having to have orthodontics to straighten up your crooked teeth after they've been allowed to lean, or to maybe lose another tooth because these teeth have gotten all crooked and crowded, and now they've developed gum disease and so on. Okay, so a space maintainer, not something you normally think about for an adult, but very doable. And relatively inexpensive. I realize $100, $200 is still a lot of money. But let me tell you my thoughts on that, too. Remember I said earlier in the show that if a person were to set aside $27 to $33 a month, they could pay for their own dental care? Now keep in mind, when I say, I have this saying, dentistry is not expensive, but neglect is. Well, what I mean by that is if you have your teeth cleaned twice a year, have them examined twice a year, x-rays every third time. Now I do x-rays every 18 months. Some offices still do them every 6 months. I have found that I can save people money by only doing it every 18 months. And I've also found that if I try to go longer than that, that's too long, because then a cavity that maybe just was getting started right after I did my x-rays is now so deep that the person might actually be getting an abscess or needing a root canal. Okay, so I don't recommend longer than every 18 months on x-rays. So there's another way to save money. If you're going to your dentist and they're x-raying you every time, I'm talking about four bite wings, you might suggest or ask, say, hey, I want to skip the x-rays today. Or you could first ask, was there anything that, you know, you saw last time that was a cavity that was developing? And if they say no, then you can probably wait 6 more months for your x-rays. But don't spread it out more than every 18 months. At least that's my suggestion. Okay, so you have the space maintainer. But let's go back to I want to revisit, first of all, the fluoride. I don't think I finished the fluoride discussion. I believe that you should use fluoride toothpaste. You should use fluoride mouthwash if you're using mouthwash. It would be very cost-effective for you to ask your dentist for fluoride carriers. These are rubber molds that we make that look like athletic mouth guards, but they're not used for that purpose. But you get one for both your upper and your lower, and you get a prescription strength fluoride gel. And then every night after you brush and floss, you can give yourself a fluoride treatment. It's 60 seconds with the gel in your mouth. All right. Now that may seem silly, and you might not even, you know, if you can't tell that it's doing anything, you always wonder, is it? Well, it is. And if you do that, your decay rate will go way, 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 way down, maybe even be eliminated. Okay? So that is a very cost-effective way. Now, what about, and you know, we just got an emailed question from John, and while I was talking about the cost of implant and the cost of a bridge and all that, he emailed and said, wouldn't it just make better sense to get dentures? Because I think he was talking about the cost, and that's a very good question. But the answer is no, because, first of all, dentures are not as efficient as natural teeth. They only have about 30% of the normal chewing efficiency as natural teeth do. If you have a lot of teeth, the cost of having your teeth extracted, when you factor that in to the cost of dentures, you'll actually wind up spending a lot more money to have all your teeth out and wear dentures than you would to just take care of your teeth. All right. Now, if you only have 4 teeth left and they're not healthy, that's a whole different story. But I have been asked that question in the office on several different occasions. So, but it's a very good question. And so just, you know, and also, you know, if you're one of those people that says, we're going to, you know, I'm just not going to worry about my teeth. When they fall out, I'll get dentures. So, of course, I'm not recommending that either, because it's not free either. All right, it's time to go to another break. You're listening to AM 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back. Tell me you will stay. AM 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thanks for joining me. And we have a caller on the line. And caller, thanks for hanging in there during the break. You're on the air. What's your question?
Good morning, sir. I was curious. You were talking about the mouth guards with the fluoride. Is that, like, how expensive is that? And does it come in, like, various flavors?
Well, the fluoride itself, you mean how expensive is the fluoride, or how expensive is having the fluoride carriers made?
Probably both. I'm just curious because it doesn't really sound that tasty, and I was kind of, I got braces, and I when I was younger, I didn't brush that much, so I had a lot of filling, so I'm kind of concerned, so I was wondering if, like, they come in flavors, because as a kid, I remember something like that you were describing, but...
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, fluoride these days tastes better. I'm not sure what it is that we came up with to mask the taste of fluoride itself, the molecule, because fluoride, the molecule, tastes really bad, which is why you'll find toothpastes oftentimes have a mint flavor to them, because mint is also a very overpowering taste, and it can overpower the bad taste of fluoride. But there are also other flavors out there, like bubblegum and fruit and cherry and so on. And cherry is a very powerful flavor, which also explains why it's used in cough syrup. The actual mouth guard, having the mouth guard fabricated, I believe is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $35. I'm just guessing. The fluoride gel, I believe, costs in the neighborhood of $15 or so when you buy it, $15 to $20, and it's one's called Prevident, one's called Colgate 5000, and it comes in a tube similar to a toothpaste tube. It's not toothpaste. But you put it in these trays and you put them in your mouth, and you will prevent tooth decay. And almost all tooth decay can be prevented this way. Now, I have a question. I forgot your name.
Matt.
I forgot to... first of all, did I answer your question?
Basically.
Can
you pick that up at, like drugstores, or...
Oh, that's a good follow-up. The answer is no, because it is a prescription, so you'll need to get that through a dentist. And it's stronger than you can buy over-the-counter. You're not supposed to swallow it for that reason. Okay, so it's definitely a concentration that will prevent decay, and I would imagine, you know, if I had somebody that I was not already a patient of record who wanted to know if I would make them fluoride carriers, let's say they called up and said, you know, money's really tight, I think my teeth are healthy, is there a chance I could just make an appointment to have fluoride carriers made? And by the way, how much would that cost? I'd be happy to see them, because I figure, you know, if I took good care of them now, at some point, they'd consider using me as their dentist. And by the way, I think dentistry is one of the few professions, maybe the only one, that's been actively trying to put itself out of business since its inception, and doing a pretty good job in a lot of ways. So I believe that's why whenever there's a public opinion poll, dentists are held in pretty high regard, and I think it's because of our mantra of take good care of the patient. You know, whatever's good for the patient is good for dentistry. But I have a question for you, Matt. Do you have a guess for our question of the day today? And do you remember the question?
Unfortunately, I didn't tune in until about 9:15. I just got off work, so...
Okay, well, I will read it, and then you can give me your guess, all right? The question of the day is, according to a recent survey, what percent of people surveyed felt that a female dentist would be more compassionate and caring and nurturing to their patients than a male dentist? What percent do you think that might be?
I'd say 74%. I don't know why that popped in my head, but I'll say 74.
Okay, 74% is Matt's guess. Thank you very much, Matt. We really appreciate the call. And while I'm on that topic, let me give a couple of email guesses that have come in. Jonathan sent in an emailed guess of 52%, and Cindy emailed a guess of 38%. So neither of these are right. None of these are correct, but... keep your guesses coming. I do appreciate it. All right, now, we were talking about the dentures and how it's not cheaper to get dentures, so that's not a way to save money. But I do want to talk specifically to denture wearers for a few minutes, because let's say you already have dentures, and they're loose, and you know you need a new set, but you don't think you can afford a new set. If you go to the dentist, come to my office, whatever, we'll be happy to take a look, because oftentimes we can do just a reline of the upper and reline of the lower. A reline is what it says it is. It's taking the tissue side, the part that actually touches your upper and lower gum, and renewing it by using an impression and putting it in a mold and basically adding a whole new inner lining, inner layer, okay, which makes it snug again. There are some instances where that's not appropriate, and that would be cases where your teeth, the denture teeth themselves, have worn down to be very, very flat, and maybe worn down to where they don't hold your chin as far away from your nose as they should. But let's say that's the case, and you still can't afford it to get new. what I've done for a couple of people in my time is I'll take those dentures and I will take my dental drill and I will carve all the hills and valleys back into the denture teeth themselves so that they lock in and they have better chewing function rather than them trying to chew on these flat, flat teeth. And also I combine that with a reline and it helps stave off having to buy a new set for a good while. All right, so there's another cost-saving way. We have to go to another break because, of course, we have bills to pay as well. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back.
Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kvitko, and today we are talking about how to survive the current economic crisis with your teeth intact. All right, so when everything kind of gets better and we all feel good about the future again, which, by the way, I feel pretty good about the future because I figure we're probably bottomed out and things are going to start getting better now. But I know not everybody believes that, but I do. And so we've been giving some tips as to how you can make sure that you still have teeth when this is all done and that you haven't had to make, you know, maybe some poor decisions for yourself along the way. Before I finish that discussion, though, because we are running short on time for today's show, I want to give the answer to today's question of the day. Dr. Kvitko's question of the day was, according to a recent survey, what percent of people felt that having a woman as their dentist would mean that they would be more caring and nurturing to their patients than a male dentist? The answer is 17%. So that's kind of a low number, lower. I mean, that's not bad. I would have been disappointed if it had been the 84% that our caller thought. And honestly, I know that there are some women that are very, very compassionate. I know there are some that are not. And I don't know that gender necessarily plays a role in that. I think it's how compassionate, understanding, and caring is the person. So, 17% was our answer. Take it for what it is. And let's get back to, we were talking earlier about how I was talking how people can afford their dental care even without insurance. And I'm saying this and mentioning this because, you know, avoiding your care should not be an option even in tough economic times. I mean, things are tight right now. If your car breaks, you're going to get it fixed. Okay, is your body any less important? I think the answer is absolutely not. So what I think is important is that people find a way to continue their dental care, but do it in an affordable fashion. So here's what happens, unfortunately, is people will go in, they wait, then they get a toothache, they go in, they say, I've got this terrible toothache, the dentist x-rays them and says, oh, you have an abscess, you need a root canal, and by the way, it'll be this much money, and, you know, depending on which tooth it is, a root canal can be anywhere from $500-$600 to over $1,000 if it's a molar, if it has four roots, and then there's the cost of the filling or the crown. And remember I said dentistry is not expensive, but neglect is? Well, that's a perfect example of that. But let's say you want to save that tooth, you just don't have the money. So then you're going to ask the dental office if they'll take payments, or you might see if there's a way you can finance this care. I'll tell you that if you set money aside every month, and you can either put it into an envelope system, set aside $30, $40 if you have it in an envelope, to just let it sit for when you do have a dental need, or, I've done this in my business dealings, and I've had people do it with us as well, at my office. They'll send us money. They'll say, I'm going to send you $50 every month, or I'm going to send you $100 every month, because I want to get my bridge, or I want to get a new partial. And when I have enough money sent in to you on account, then I'm going to come and get the work. Is that okay with you? And the answer is, of course. And I've done this in my own case, in several instances, where I needed a new roof that I didn't have the money for. I got some estimates, just chose the roofer, and I sent him a check with a note that says, I'm going to send you more checks like this. I'm going to send you 8 or 10 of these. And then when I've paid in enough and you feel good about me and comfortable enough coming out and doing the work, then go ahead and schedule it. And if they didn't want to do it until they'd been paid in full, I would be okay with that as well. So that would be a way, too, of being proactive. Send a little bit of money. If you already know your dentist, you already have an established relationship, try it. You'll see. I bet you it'll work. So, you know, it is affordable. You can do it. What I'm finding is there are so many things that I wanted to tell folks about this that I'm not finding enough time to do it in one show. So I'm probably going to revisit this topic at another day, because I want to talk about, you know, we talked about x-rays, but how often do you need cleanings? What if your dentist actually finds a cavity or finds eight of them? What do you do? Do you have to do all eight? Can you just do one at a time? You know, when it comes to the cost of things. So tune in at a future date, maybe next Sunday, maybe the week after, because we'll continue this discussion here in the future. I welcome your emails and your suggestions to dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 9.